Welcome to The Geek in Review, the podcast focused on innovative and creative ideas in the legal profession. I'm Marlene Gebauer.
And I'm Greg Lambert. And we are still at Legal Week 2024. We haven't left yet, although it's getting closer.
Yes.
So I went out onto the vendor hall and ran into Dan Lear from InfoTrack. He's the VP of partnerships there. And he was gracious enough to come on down and talk with us. So, Dan, welcome to the Geek in Review.
Hey, thanks, Greg and Marlene. It's really a pleasure to be with you. I went really hard on karaoke last night, so my voice is a little...
I did that on Tuesday night.
Man, yeah. It was amazing. It was so very fun.
All right, what's your go-to?
What's the go-to song?
Honestly, as hard as I went last night, it's really funny that I haven't done it a lot. But I think Adam Camrys, one of my colleagues, actually "Wanted Dead or Alive" by Bon Jovi is probably
that's a tough one.
My second, which I didn't get to
do, we know.
But I did have on the queue was, which I think is would be, I got to do this one again is "Shook Me All Night Long" by AC/DC.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
it is.
Marlene, what's your go-to?
Probably Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then typically I do Love Shack because I can usually get like two or three women to come up and sing along, and they had the hard part.
Yeah, and you just sit back there and go,
French
Love
Schneider,
Shack,
you know,
baby.
Just the top,
yep, exactly. although if I do it by myself, then I will go to Hot Blooded from Foreigner.
Also fantastic.
Yeah, can't go wrong with the, you know, 70s classic rock.
Just a tinge of sort of, I want to say cheese.
Oh, but a bit
like
of cheese.
Yeah, there's a solid. Yeah. There's
I don't
solid.
Know if there's a tinge. Yeah. I think there's a lot.
No,
of it.
Yeah, but it lands in a great way these days.
Oh, well, Dan.
Oh, I was going to say, so Dan, like, other than karaoke, you know, how has your experience been?
Is there a show?
Is there anything else? You know, how has your experience been here at Legal Week? You know, what are some of your takeaways?
Yeah.
It was my voice.
Yeah. It's been really interesting. So I have not been to this show. I think the last one I came to was actually the January right before the pandemic. Mm. So that's just generally been interesting. I think we're all sort of reemerging from this weird last few years. Takeaways. So, I mean, I think one of the things that most people have commented on that I think is fairly interesting is there seems to be a much greater breadth of technologies here. I think, and
it's not just e-discovery anymore.
Yeah. Which again, this show I think got maybe an unfair rap, kind of for being just an e-discovery show. So I think that's been really interesting. I think, honestly, just to extrapolate that out a little bit, I think it's a really interesting testament to, I think, technology that is, like, finally kind of coming to the legal sector. And I guess, kind of to take that one step further, this is something I've been paying moderate attention to. I feel like there's a lot more people in finance here, like, evaluating, looking at, thinking about investing in these technologies, which I don't... didn't feel to me like was as, which seems really obvious being in New York, but didn't feel like it was as prevalent in years past when I've been here. Maybe I just pay more attention to it, or maybe I know who those people are because occasion I've had conversations with them. But
I think that's an area that's gaining popularity, and I probably shouldn't mention other conferences while we're here at Legal Week, but there are other conferences that are devoted specifically to that sort of bringing, you know, bringing buyers, developers, and investors together.
We had an entire show about that
exactly.
A couple weeks ago.
Oh, interesting. No, so I think that's an interesting thing that's happened. But I think of course AI.
Yeah.
You know. Last year we were scared. Now we're like leaning in and super engaged. It'll be interesting to see what happens next year. Mm-hmm. We've been joking and I've had a few conversations sort of, have we reached and or are we past peak AI? in legal, but it's certainly everywhere, at this show.
Yeah, all I'm keeping hearing, everyone's like, yeah, I think we're at the peak or sort of going down into the trough. Yeah. And so I think that's where everybody's sort of saying where we're at.
Well, and to be clear, and I don't want to turn the microphone back on you guys. Let me start. I think this is when it actually gets interesting, right? Because now it's permeated, yeah. Right? Now they've really sold it.
People are
what
in.
Do we end up doing with this stuff? Like, yeah. That's when I think stuff can start to get really interesting.
Yeah. Now you have to actually have something to show.
Totally.
And do.
Work around all of the
issues.
It's
not about talking anymore. It's about doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not about just sort of adding AI to your name or putting it on your domain. It's like, okay, now you got to deliver.
We just talked about that.
Yeah. 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 So, no, you didn't have .ai as your new name.
That's your new name.
So. Yep.
Well, for our listeners who may not know about InfoTrack, you might give a kind of a high-level overview of what you do and who your customer base is?
Absolutely. So we sell integrated litigation support services. Now, that sounds like a whole bunch of technology and legal words smashed together.
That's jargon.
Exactly. But it's also...
What does it mean?
It's also both accurate and concise. So let me expand on that. So, this audience is relatively sophisticated in terms of both technology and law, but I'll break it down. So you want to initiate a lawsuit or respond to a lawsuit directly out of a practice management system that you're using. We help you do that. So you want to electronically file that lawsuit in your local jurisdiction. We can build a module that basically says, or we can attach, we integrate into the law practice management system that you're using where you can basically push a button that says file the lawsuit. You drop into the InfoTrack workflow. We collect all of that information, file the suit, pay the fees, and then all of those fees will actually automatically be attributed back to the matter in your particular practice management system. And that last piece sounds kind of trivial, but it's actually a really key value proposition because, and again, I think it relates very much to the world that you folks live in or think about here on the podcast is when people switch technologies, right? Like, you forget what you were doing in the old one or you're hurrying to go back from the new one back to the old one. And so you forget I just paid sometimes thousands of dollars in filing fees. And those are attributable back to the client. But, you got to get onto your next thing. You forget, somebody interrupts you, you go, get coffee or whatever. And so law firms actually end up losing a lot of those fees because they just, it's just not top of mind. So that's a really key piece. So we do electronic filing. We also do electronic service of process. So you can, and the old school sort of, technology related analogy that I think about is like, and this is really old school and nerdy, but the Dick Tracy, you press a button and the signal goes out and there's some service of process person wherever it is that you want to have your process initiated, who receives the documents and then goes and initiates kind of service of process, complete service of process. So we do that as well. And then we have a small but growing business in kind of docket retrieval. So you can say, again, on all of this, we only sell, we can talk about this later, we only sell integrated. So this is all through your practice management system. You can say in whatever practice management system you're in, hey, I want to, either this is one of my matters or maybe I'm just interested in it. I want to track this. If there's ever any activity on the docket for that particular matter, we're listening. And we'll grab any documents that come up and we'll bring them back and put them in your practice management system. So those are kind of our three key core offerings.
Do your people have the risk radio?
And again, it's crazy how this works, right? But I got the Apple.
We're all looking at our Apple Watch.
Yeah, I got the Apple Watch and I'm realizing this is more than Dick Tracy, yeah. Right? And that seemed so cool back
in the
day.
You got one of the new ones too.
It's a year old, yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. This is not I have many thoughts about the Apple Watch. This is not that podcast, unless of course you want it to be. It's insane.
So it's interesting with the docket services because there's so many sort of online kind of docket retrieval. You basically can go and get it online. But there's still a number of jurisdictions where you can't get that, or maybe certain things that you can't get. So, is that something you're considering too in terms of sort of offering that kind of online support?
For courts in which it's not available online yet?
Sure.
So that's a super interesting question. the short answer is we still have a lot of work to do in terms of just covering the courts that do offer online. So that's like step one is like, for those where it is available, let's like currently, I think our DocuSync product is only available in New York, New Jersey, and I think Georgia. And there are many more states that would enable us to do it if we wanted to. So that's step one is like, let's just get the places that are easy, like, you know, the low hanging fruit. Beyond that, you know, it's a fun question, Marlene. And where I often like to go is maybe too far into the future. But, you know, one of the things that I really am excited about working at InfoTrack is, and I think, again, your audience and you two will probably agree, is like all of this stuff should be electronic. Like there's just no reason for it not to be. And again, if I can ever so briefly get on my soapbox, I think the more it becomes electronic, the greater access we're able to provide to not only the legal profession, but the public in general, which I think is like a net positive for our society. So like, that's the part that kind of gets me jazzed. But part of what we're really working to do is not only kind of encourage courts who either have electronic filing or electronic dockets available to enact sensible rules around how people can access them and make them available to folks like us as well as others. So that's kind of step one, but also like to encourage those courts who don't currently have it to bring them online. So that was a little, I still didn't answer your question. I sort of,
that's all right. We always tell people to answer the question you want.
Coming back around to it, but I do want to answer your question. So we do in some cases, and I may be telling tales out of school, but I'm pretty sure this is true. In some cases where, I would love for us to see, let me put it this way. And I should caveat all this by saying I'm relatively new in role. I just started this job in November. So there are still pieces of the business I'm learning. I do believe that we can, in some cases, initiate physical filing kind of through that electronic portal. So like in some courts, we can, again, like the service of process piece, basically send a message out to like a courier service who then delivers filings physically. So we do that. I think for us, it's about A, getting that low hanging fruit of folks, you know, of courts who either are just coming online in terms of e-filing or are already and don't have the greatest rules or seem inclined to move in that direction. It's about either working with them or encouraging them to move in the right direction instead of, you know, I mean, we could absolutely build out a much more sophisticated kind of ground game, if you will, right, that handles all of the physical filing for all of these different places. But I think ultimately, again, kind of going back to my my more sort of access-y note, we'd rather see those courts come into the digital age. And so kind of pushing them that way is probably where we'd be investing our resources. But we do that from time to time.
So your customer base, so, you know, what's kind of the average... How does your customer look?
Yeah, and you asked that question earlier, Greg. And again, I think I ignored
that's
it.
That's fine. But I also want to build on that. You know, what are some of the demands that you're seeing from customers now in 2024? Whether it's coming up to the booth and talking to you, or you know, shooting you an email. So what does your customer look like, and what are they kind of asking you to do for them now?
So customers for us tend to be a little bit on the smaller side. That's more to some degree by choice. The way we've decided to build the business is just to focus on kind of that small to medium sized law firm segment.
And how would you define that?
I mean, we have firms everywhere from solos on up to firms of about 100 people.
Okay.
So yeah, like the super, well, I don't know. Yeah, much bigger than that. And kind of to just drill down there. Those firms don't tend to use the systems with which we, you know, kind of cloud-based systems with which we often integrate. So I think that's kind of one piece. And then I think that just like from a business perspective, we've just chosen not to sort of be patient enough to wait through those sales cycles, at least not right now. Again, it's just a decision, I think, at some point. And I think there are definitely needs on that level as well. We've just kind of chosen to focus. I think the other thing is personal injury, family, probate, all of those tend to be with firms that are a little bit kind of on the smaller side, right? So that's also, I think, those are a large majority of the filings, right? And so kind of the overlap of all of those pieces has sort of had us focused there. Your second question was,
what are the client demands?
Oh, yes, what are they asking for? Yeah. Honestly, it's really interesting. For many of these firms, an integrated kind of litigation support offering, this is like the first time they're really experiencing this. And so honestly, like a lot of them, I would say our bigger challenges are like, hey, you should be doing it this way instead of leaving your practice management system and going to, you know, either initiate service of process manually over the phone or like filing your, you know, your case electronically in the court. Like truly, that's like helping them understand the benefits of what we're doing, I think is still like a really big part of the work that we're doing. And honestly, like it's pretty remarkable how much, and I'm not trying to over.
I think that's a real pain point for everybody. And like, how do you manage that change management conversation?
So this fellow used a little bit of a different, it wasn't crass. Well, it was crass, but it wasn't a cuss word. But we had somebody come up to our booth at a conference a few months ago who said, hey, I just went and used your electronic filing portal. And he's like, it's like the best thing I've ever, he was like ecstatic about the experience. And again, I'm not trying to sell us here. I'm just saying like, I don't think that people are conditioned to think of things this way. And let's be honest also, this is one of the hurdles we run into as well. In some cases, lawyers bill for this time or legal professionals bill for this time, right? So to some degree, by making this more efficient, we're arguably kind of going counter to their incentives. But yeah, kind of step one is just like opening people's eyes and helping them see this. Kind of what do I think that they want? Honestly, it's really more of a conversation of like, what do we think they should want? And that sounds a little bit arrogant, but like the vision we have is that our workflow and the way that people use us in practice management system is still very disjointed. In a practice management system is still very disjointed. So we'd love to figure out a way to make it more immersive, to make it more natural, to make it easier, just so that it's more obvious, so that a lot of the things, I mean, again, you know, when practice management first emerged on the scene, well, now, I mean, let's talk just cloud-based, because that's that's a period with which I'm familiar. I don't go that far back in the legal sector, you know. It was just radical to have time and billing. And now, you know, now there's documents, now there's calendaring, now there's email integration, and all that stuff just feels so comfortable. And we want to get to a place where like it's just second nature that you can go into one of these systems and expect that you can file electronically and maybe not even know that InfoTrack is on the back end.
Do you want to do crystal ball or you got other questions? All right. Well, look, before we get to the crystal ball, is there anything that we haven't asked you that you want to talk about?
No, I would just say I'm familiar with the podcast. I think it's fantastic. I love what you guys are doing. I love that there are people out there talking about this stuff. So I just wanted to give you a pat on the back for the work that you're doing. And thank you for letting me here, even though we're not even done. But it's been a pleasure.
All right.
That's great. So we do ask everybody the crystal ball questions. Since you're a listener, you know this.
I do indeed.
And so sort of, you know, taking your crystal ball and looking in the next 2 to 4 years, you know, what are some things you see in terms of trends or challenges or changes that we're going to see in the industry?
Let's see. What's the best? I mean, I'm trying to decide whether I want to do AI first or last. I think we'll start with AI. So I think it is going to become like email, not from the perspective of like, I think it will probably have ultimately a pretty significant impact on the way we work, but maybe not in the way that we think. Like, I just don't, for a variety of reasons, I just don't think it's ever going to like replace legal professionals. People can't see me, but I'm doing like the air quotes. I lawyers have and legal professionals have existed for time immemorial. And I think they always will for a whole wide variety of reasons. I just don't think, I think it's going to be a really, really long time before any of that makes any sense. But I do think, like, you know, the speed at which we get things done, the speed at which we communicate, the speed with which we are expected to respond as legal professionals has increased dramatically with the introduction of new technologies. And it's not even speed as so much as it's efficiency, right? The way that we do things. There are very, very, very... So I started my legal career as a records filing clerk in a large law firm in Seattle, Washington, which is where I live. And there was a fairly... And this fellow wasn't even that old then. He's like in his 50s, which again, to me, doesn't seem old anymore. but he... So this, and this is like 2001, 2002. He would receive emails, his secretary would print them out, he would handwrite responses, and then she would put them back into the... so kind of along those lines, I don't think there are too many lawyers hand drafting their, you know, their briefs anymore. Maybe they do because they like it, but, like, you know, there's just much more efficient ways to do that. So I really see... I see it becoming, you know, a tool that, again, like... If you're like super adept at Word, you're way more efficient and way more effective than your, you know, than your lawyer down the street or your lawyer from 30 years ago. But, you know, it's not doing the work for you. And so I really think that that's sort of how we're going to see kind of AI evolve. I think the other pieces that I am watching, I think that there is the practice of law, from my perspective, is becoming more and more of a business. And I like another podcast, another time we can talk about whether or not that's a good thing, but I do think it relates to technology and I'll get there. And I say that in terms of the law firms, I think it has a few different impacts. The law firms that I see succeeding are those who know how to do certain things, like specific, they specialize. Like, just to be very candid, and or they are like very, very good at a lot of the business end of the profession, acquiring customers, servicing customers, marketing, running operations, that sort of thing. And I think what that means is I think you're going to see increasingly those firms succeed and grow, and a lot of the firms that either don't have those skills or don't have the sort of wherewithal to focus are not going to be as successful. That's sort of the you know, if I look into the crystal ball, which again, I think big picture is actually like a pretty good thing really for everyone involved.
Future's bright.
Yeah, no, I really do. And I think for a wide variety of reasons, I think it's better for consumers. I think it's just better across the board. Kind of flipping that back on technology, I think that the firms that are able to understand how they leverage technology to accomplish those goals, again, whether it's in the acquisition of customers, whether it's in the service of customers, whether it's being more efficient, you know, that's where kind of tying things back to what it is that we do. I think sometimes we worry like, oh, we're forcing lawyers to do something that they wouldn't want to do economically or is it not in their economic best interest because they can bill for this time. But as I look into my crystal ball and look down the path, I just think like there are so many things that lawyers used to bill for, right? Like handwriting things, you know, marking up those drafts that now would not be reasonable.
Long distance charges.
Yeah, exactly. That now would not be reasonable for folks to bill for. So right. Like, we are going to get to a place where those efficiencies naturally get cut out because a firm that is using someone, again, I don't want this to be an advertisement for us, but a firm who is using something like InfoTrack and is able to move faster and is smarter about the way they deploy their resources, I think will ultimately be more successful.
Awesome. Well, Dan Lehr from InfoTrack, thank you very much for letting us grab you off the floor and sticking a microphone in front of your face. So.
Thank you both so much for letting me hang out. It was really a pleasure.
This is fun. This is great. This is really good. So, and thanks to all of you, our listeners, for taking the time to listen to the Geek & Review podcast. If you enjoy the show, share it with a colleague. We'd love to hear from you, so reach out to us on social media. I can be found on LinkedIn or X at GayBauerM and on Threads at MGayBauer66.
And I can be reached on LinkedIn or on X at Glambert. Dan, where if someone wanted to learn more either about you or InfoTrack, where's the best place for them to look?
So InfoTrack.com, very easy. And then as far as the technology, Marlene, I'm very impressed that you still call it, that you have managed to call it X. I think I'm going to call it Twitter still.
Took us a while.
Yeah, I finally took it out of the script.
So I'm on that thing. I used to spend a ton of time there. I don't as much anymore, but I'm at Right Brain Law on that platform. And then I'm on LinkedIn, Dan Lear, pretty easy to track down.
All right.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And as always, the music you hear is from Jerry David Zisica. Thank you.
Thanks for not forgetting about Jerry.
Jerry thanks you as well.